Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Well, we are well into the holiday shopping season. Now that Thanksgiving is over, let the games begin. There are steals, deals, and plenty to watch out for as you spend to put a little something or a lot of something under the tree. All of this despite an economy that's still trying to recover from high interest rates and high gas prices. Well, joining me to talk about all of this is NBC4 consumer investigative reporter Susan Hogan. Susan is here. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Susan, happy holidays.
Harold, it's so good to be here in person with inside. You this year. Inside, not live outside
yeah,
or anything.
I know. It is so good to see you. Thank you so much for coming in. Let's talk a little bit, first of all, about the shopping economy right now. I mean, I was watching the news just yesterday, and shoppers are going crazy. There's all of this talk about the economy is improving, but I'm sure that depends on who you talk to. Stock market was down today. It was down yesterday, and you know, but the credit cards are still hot.
The credit cards are really hot. And, you know, it's funny because it's tradition for me to go and cover Black Friday, so I go pick them all every Black Friday. I go to bed early. Actually, that's kind of strategic for me because on Thanksgiving, I walk away from the dishes. So to everybody, at 7 o'clock, I got to go to bed because I got to be up
that's
early
right.
tomorrow morning
I gotta
and
work.
Cover Black Friday.
That's right. I got to work.
But I will tell you, you know, I was at Tyson's Corner Center, and Harold, I have to be honest with you. I was expecting kind of a, you know, reception, 6 o'clock when the doors open. It was like a Saturday morning in the middle of the year. It was packed.
Yeah.
And we were interviewing people, and I'm like, so, you know, is inflation impacting the way you're going to be spending this year? And they looked at me like I had five heads. Mm-hmm. And the answer was really, well, no. You know, people, I think, saved a lot of money during 2020, and which kind of trickled into 2021. And, yes, prices are higher right now, but people feel like they have some spending money. And, you know, prices everywhere have gone up, but still a record 196 million people showed up to shop between Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday. So something is telling us that there's a lot of people, that there's a net demand right now for, you know, the amount of customers who are showing up to stores to spend their money.
It seems like that's almost like the American way, though. No matter where the economy is, when it comes through or comes to the end of the year holiday shopping, people just want to spend.
Yeah, you know, and according to the National Retail Federation, which I have right here, they were talking about, you know, as inflationary pressures persist, consumers really, though, have responded by stretching their dollars to buy what they want to buy. And, you know, when you're talking about what's driving them, what is the number one category that you think the consumers stretch their dollars for?
I don't know.
Toys.
Really?
Toys completely took over Cyber Monday. That was one of the number one things that drove Cyber Monday spending, which is pretty incredible. Electronics, of course, is another one as well. So, you know, I think when consumers are kind of faced with that and they're looking, it's the end of the year, they will stretch their dollars any way they can to make sure that there are Christmas presents underneath the tree.
But toys these days are so expensive. They're not like when you and I
when
were kids.
Right? But, you know, right? But you want to hear this? This is funny. So just recently, and we're doing this story next week, but I'll give you guys a little sneak peek. So we actually had a toy expert on, and I asked her, I'm like, what are some of the biggest toys this holiday season? And believe it or not, Tonka trucks and Legos still remain one of the top toys that consumers are buying for their kids. That actually made me feel pretty good.
Yeah, especially with the Lego things, because it's really simple.
Yes.
The kids, if you have little ones, my little one's 24. She's not doing Legos, but her toy's got an engine and four wheels. But but I would imagine for those who have little ones or grandchildren or what have you, that'll keep them occupied for hours.
It does. And the American Girl dolls, those are always still really hot sellers as well. And they're expensive, too. And they're something called Print Perfect Purse Pets. Go figure, right?
Print Perfect
right?
Purse.
Apparently these purse. Are like all of the, you know, the rage for little kids. Who knew? I don't know. I am so out of that. I have 18 and 20, almost 24 year olds. So I'm there. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And you know, I always say to them, I'm like, what? I'm like, you guys, you got to give me some ideas what you want for Christmas. And they all look at me. The gift cards.
I know. What is... And I'm children, like, be creative.
But then they'll complain when they come down for Christmas because they're still like, you know, seven when they're on Christmas morning. They all act as they're seven. They'll come down and I can see the disappointment. They don't see a lot of stuff under the Christmas tree. I'm like, come on, you guys. Seriously?
Get a big box and put the gift card.
That's a good idea.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about holiday shopping, holiday budgeting, steals, deals, and making sure you don't get ripped off during this holiday season. I'm here with Susan Hogan, NBC4's consumer investigative reporter. Again, if you have any questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, so this is December 1st. We've got, what, about 3 weekends or so before Christmas Day. How would you recommend that people do their shopping if they're going to do in-place shopping? We can get to the cyber stuff in a bit. But if they're going to shop in person, mornings, evenings, during the week, what's the deal?
Okay, so this is my best recommendation. If they want to go to in-store, which I always want to push people to retail stores, to the brick and mortars, especially if they can go shop local. I think that's incredibly important, obviously, to support your local businesses, the small businesses. But let's face it, people head to the malls most often. And for that, this is what was really interesting. And we did this story a couple of months ago. So last year, we were talking about shortages. Remember that? We
yes,
were talking about that
exactly.
Malls, you know, if you wanted a particular, you know, sweater or a television or whatever it may be, you should get at it as soon as you can to see if you can get it because the shortages. This year, because of that, retailers overbought. So now they have a huge surplus of goods, believe it or not. So now they're trying to get rid of it. So my first thing is, no matter where you go, head to clearance. Head straight to the clearance rack. Because usually in the past, clearance racks means last season's goods, right? Not necessarily this year. Oftentimes right now, you're seeing things that are new this year in clearance because they're trying to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would tell folks, is to get right to the clearance racks first and foremost. And also, price comparison is so big. And making sure that if you have your cell phone before you go shopping, download some price comparison apps. These are really important because what you can do is when you're there, sometimes you can just literally take a shot of the QR code mm-hmm. or a price tag, and it will tell you where you are, it can locate you and tell you where other stores have that particular item and how much it costs. That's a big thing, and that's a big tool that people can have. And you can just Google that, like, what are the best price comparison apps? It'll give you a list of them, and you can find them that way. The other thing, too, is I'd never shop on a Saturday or a Sunday. No way. Have you been to a mall on a Saturday?
Yeah, I work during the week, so that's the only time I can go.
Right. Yeah. And you know, a lot of malls, I know, like with Springfield Town Center, because of during COVID, they cut their mall hours down quite considerably. And because of staffing shortage, they have not increased those. So even during the holidays, they're open, I believe, at 11 until 8. So you really should look at your store hours and make sure that, you know, you're not going there and thinking, well, I'm going to go late when everyone else is in bed. A lot of the stores aren't staying open that late this
yeah,
time around.
They're not doing the 9:30 and 10 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock and 8:30. It's like, ding, ding, time
exactly.
to roll out. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Absolutely.
You know.
Right.
You mentioned something about price comparisons, and I remember when I bought my big 75-inch 4K flat screen television, and this was not, this really wasn't, well, it, now that I think about it, it was around this time, and I think I went to Best Buy, but one of the things I'm finding is stores will not, they may match, but they're not going to discount But one of the things I did find was if I said, well, if you're just going to match but you're not going to discount, then I'll go somewhere else. And they'll say, well, maybe we can throw something in.
Like the warranty.
The warranty or those cables. Or mm-hmm. And I've been really, really surprised that, what's the old saying, closed mouths don't get fed. If you don't ask, you don't know.
You are 100% right. And so many people do. If you ask people, oh, I'm like, you really should negotiate. People don't like to do that.
Yeah.
People just feel like, oh, I'm going to sound cheap. Who cares?
Yeah, it's your money.
It's your money. And stores are expecting it these days. And you're 100% right. The price matching, people think, oh, it's just going to be, I don't feel like doing that. It's going to take a long time. It really isn't that hard to do with these apps that I mentioned. And also just kind of keeping your eyes and ears. Like if you bought something over Black Friday or like the week before Black Friday or, you know, whatever, like even this week, they're really watching. They know that you should be there and price matching. And stores are expecting you to do that. And as you said, if they don't, they're not going to give you a discount, but do ask them. Ask them, hey, listen, you know, I could go over next door to Best Buy and get this. Yeah. You know, what can you give me so you don't see me walking out the door? You need to ask. And as you said, you never know what you might get.
What impact do you believe the rising interest rates have on shopping this year? I mean, there have been, I believe, three interest rate mm-hmm. hikes by the Fed. There was discussion even today about another rate hike this month, although not as big. But, you know, my goodness, you know, credit cards are really looking unattractive this year.
I know. And credit cards, I have a love-hate relationship with credit cards. I'm down to one myself. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot for me to get there. I'm a consumer reporter, but, you know, still, I mean, I'm a mom of three kids and I use credit cards.
Right.
And so, you know, I think the biggest thing, and I always, and people ask me this about the store credit card, should we open up a store credit card? Because, you know, at the point of sale, what do they always ask? Hey, you know what? If you're buying $120 worth of goods, they'll say, you know, if you open up a store credit card, we can give you 20% off of this, you know, purchase. And what I always say to folks, if it's a small purchase, like you're only making something like $100, don't do it. Mm-hmm. But if you are buying a large appliance or you're buying a television and it's something, you know, like $500-$700 and open up that store credit card and get that 20% off, I'm all for that, cuz that's a good chunk of change that you're saving. But with that being said, know what the parameters are about that credit card, because you might have that might just give you that one purchase, but the next purchase you make, it could end up being 19%. So know what the parameters are. And as soon as you get that discount, see what the credit card policy is. And as soon as you can, you close it. I literally have done that twice. And I will set a calendar note that on the, you know, 30th of this month, this is when I need to make sure I shut that card down and get rid of it. So that's something that I always tell folks. If you're going to take the bait, just do that, but just make sure you know to shut that down. And yeah, I mean, interest rates are really high, but you know, I think for folks right now, your credit score means everything. So mm-hmm. if you have a good credit score, you're going to do all right with interest rates. You're probably not going to be charged exorbitant ones if you're, you know, getting a car or buying a house, and for that matter, or getting a credit card as well.
Or that, you know, that 6 months or 12 yeah. months or 18 months, same as cash. Mm-hmm. It's a great deal, but the longer it is, you know, mm-hmm. it's easy to get sucked into that too, because you can forget that, you know, well, I'm just going to pay the minimum and what have you. And then the next, you know, 6 months, you know, down the road, that $800 or $1,000 per, yeah, it just really blows up.
Yeah.
And you're looking, you're like, what happens? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've got, you know, Simon Legree, you know, he's like,
yeah, exactly. Oh, you have a good one. That sounds good.
I tell you, it can be
yeah,
scary.
It can.
Yeah.
It can.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm talking to Susan Hogan, NBC4 consumer investigative reporter. We are talking about steals and deals and making sure that you do not get ripped off during this holiday season. We've got a lot to talk about on the other side, including, I do want to go back a little bit to, I'm going to ask Susan about this great report that she did earlier this year, one of my favorites of hers, and it's about child safety. You do not want to miss that. But we're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking steals, deals, and consumer tips during the holiday shopping season with my guest, NBC4 consumer investigative reporter Susan Hogan. Susan, I want to stay with this, you know, with this theme about, you know, the holiday gift giving and, mm-hmm. you know, and shopping and just, you know, your thoughts. We talked about toys, but traditionally, when you're talking about electronic shopping, we've always said, hey, look, wait until after the first of the year because those prices are dropping. And does it really make that much of a difference now? I mean, I know you talked about the, you know, the shortage mm-hmm. before and now the overstocking. Is 1 month going to make a difference, particularly with televisions, 4K, 8K.
Oh my gosh, I can't 30, keep up.
Yeah, the only thing they do now, you know, is it going to serve you drinks? That's probably
that would be lovely.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there'll be times that I'll say, you know, December's the best time to buy an electronic or a washing machine, and then you'll see a report that says, oh, you should be buying electronics in, you know, President's Day or Veterans Day. You know, the bottom line is, a lot of this is gimmicky. You know, meaning that a lot of the stores will put on, you know, it'll be President's Day or it's Labor Day or it's Memorial Day savings. At the end of the day, you just have to have your due diligence and watch for the sales on your own. That for me, I always say at the end of the year, that is really the time to go and find your bargains because it makes sense. You know, especially in November, December, the stores are trying to get rid of the inventory, bring in the new inventory for the new year. So no matter what, I always say, this is really a good time to go and get whatever big products you are looking for. And shop around. I mean, at the end of the day, that is so important. It's just to know, you know, look at the Best Buys, look at the Targets, look at Amazon, and just really kind of, you know, watch how the pricing is going and keep an eye on yourself because you've just got to understand that stores will, you know, at different times, you'll have markdowns here and then you'll have markdowns there. If you get coupons, you've got to be one of those where you just have to kind of be vigilant yourself and kind of see what's out there and really know what you're looking for too. And but I will say again, when it comes to electronics and it comes to smart TVs and when it comes to appliances, you know, especially with the big box stores, ask them when they turn over their inventory. You can Google that and find out when the inventory is being turned over.
Really?
Yeah, you really can. And it's just one of those things that you have to do. You have to do your own due diligence and be smart about it and do your own research. You can Google anything these days, yeah. And that's what I, you know, when you need an appliance.
But you have to know what to ask when
right,
you do.
Right, you do. Absolutely. But, you know, I think that, you know, the end of the year is truly the end of the year, and that's when you really should, you know, look for cars, look for big appliances, look for your television sets, and know when the season, different seasons for different products change over. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, that's kind of how I do it. We have, every month we say, I have a segment called What to Buy in July, yeah. What to Buy in November, What to Buy in December. And those are coming from Consumer Reports. They're fantastic. So, you know, that's another great avenue to look to as well, as Consumer Reports has, you know, they also monitor these things all the time, you know, and so that's a lot of times where I get all of my information is from them, where I'm like, okay, that's good. And then we pass it along to our viewers
as well. You dig a little deeper.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Allison, calling from D.C. Allison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, the buy now and pay later. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you get the big TV and it says you can get it and take it home today and then you don't start paying for 6 months or 12 months or something like that. And I know someone who did that and then ended up, you know, I don't know, in the double-digit thousands in debt for a TV. So it's really not a good deal, right?
So, yeah, we did a story about buy now, pay later, and you can really get yourself caught up in that. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau actually put out an alert in regards to this, and they really are cautioning customers to really be very vigilant about this because it can lead to a lot of consumers taking out too many of these loans at once, and then they end up accruing way more debt than they're able to actually repay. So it's one of those things like, you know, I know like with Peloton, a lot of people were doing that a couple of years ago, and that's when it became a really big deal. That's kind of when we started hearing about these buy now, pay laters. But now you could do buy now, pay later in grocery stores. You can do it for almost anything. So it's just it's really setting you up to fail. If you are really diligent about paying your bills and keeping an eye on things like that, then do it once if you're trying to buy something big and you just don't have the cash on hand right now. But watch for that interest rate. You know, it doesn't take a hit on your credit report. They do what they call a soft credit check, so it doesn't ding your credit score. But still, you just have to be extremely careful with these, not to get too excited about them and take too many out, because before you know it, you've got too many on your hands.
Allison, thank you so much for your phone call. You know, one of the other things I've noticed, I'm sure you've seen this too, I see this for online shopping where, I mean, I may see a shirt that's on sale for $50. And they say, well, you can break the payments up into four payments. That's just crazy.
Right?
It's just crazy to me. You know, here you get it $10, $10, $10. And, you know, to me, it's kind of like if you can't afford to buy it, you know, that shirt can wait. I mean, that's how I feel about
it.
And I just think that people are getting sucked in with these breaking up into four payments.
Yeah, and you're right. And the thing, too, is... And there's so many companies that do this now, and they're also now beginning to charge you fees and for each late payment. So you have to be very careful. So, you know, whenever you do this, like at checkout, because it's very easy to do, because my daughter was getting caught up in this and her girlfriends were getting caught up in it. And I had to stop them. And I'm like, let's go online and let me have you press that little link that says more information. And when you start reading the fine print, and that's when you realize, oh, you know, this could end up costing me a lot. And there are fees involved if you do have these missed payments. So take the time, take a breath. And you're right. If you can't afford to buy that shirt or that television or whatever it may be at that moment in full, then you probably should not go ahead and break it down in four payments. It's going to cost you more.
But I think the thing that's so amazing, if you wanted to buy something that's really small, such as, I don't know, like a thermos cup, and maybe it's $15, and they're still saying, do you want to break these payments up? And it seems to me that you can get caught up in in this black hole of, well, it's only $3 this month, $3 this month, and $3. But then if I'm only paying $3 for my thermos cup this month, then, you know, I can get a phone case for $10, and that's only $2.50 this month. And I would imagine at some point you get a bill and you're in trouble.
Right. And some of these have hidden interest as well. So if you are financing through one of these buy now, pay laters, what can happen with if you don't pay off in full, because people will forget, and if you don't set yourself a reminder, oftentimes you do end up paying interest on these supposedly interest-free transactions. So again, read the fine print. Set alerts on your phone if you are doing these four payments. I mean, they're not all that bad if you stay on it.
Yeah.
But they're set up to have you fail, just as credit cards are. People get caught up in it. Debt right now is in the billions and billions of dollars. I mean, so many people. And I have always said to my kids, debt is going to absolutely, just don't get yourself in credit card debt. And I, you know, our kids are about the same age or are the same age. And I, you know, with college and loans, and I'm like, you got to learn how to budget now. It's so important to teach kids at a young age. You know, my kids want credit cards because they're 20, you know, they're 23 and they both want credit cards. And credit cards can be good. And you do need to have some credit cards and some credit and to have a good credit score and start building credit. But with that comes, you know, discipline. Mm-hmm. And that's very difficult. But these buy now, pay laters, man, when they came out a couple of years ago, I'm thinking, whoa, this is going to be a story. And we've done a number of stories on this.
You mentioned cars, and you've been on here on this program talking about shopping at the end of the year. But again, the same question comes up. Earlier this year and during the pandemic, you couldn't get parts. You couldn't get cars. If you ordered a car, how did it come to you? Here's a fender. Here's a wheel. You know, here's a clutch. Right. You know, here's the engine. But, you know, put it together yourself. But is that changing now?
So, you know, a year ago, what we were seeing, first of all, almost like 2 years ago, we couldn't get cars. Car lots were empty, right? And then we were also seeing these huge payments, an added fee. And they were called inventory fee.
What is
like
that?
Like thousands of dollars. So here's your car, and your car is $23,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
what
that's
kind
the
of car
MSRP.
Is that?
It's I know, right? Exactly. I know, right? Find it for me. My kids would like it. So a $23,000 car, but then there would be like an upcharge of an inventory fee of $8,000 or $10,000. And the reason that, you know, car dealers would tell you, that's because we have a shortage. And it's hard to keep inventory, so we've got to, you know, charge you that extra. We're like, what? People were buying it. We did a story about this with one of our News 4 employees. His wife was in an accident, so they had to buy a car in the middle of COVID, in the middle of this shortage. And the car, I won't tell you what make and model because it really doesn't matter. But they saw it. They picked it out. This is what they were going to do. They went home for, you know, weekend, and they were going to pick it up 3 or 4 days. By the time they went to pick it up, it had gone up $14,000.
Exactly.
And they're like, we're good. We can't do that. Forget it. So, you know, we're beginning to see that kind of come down. We're not seeing those inventory fees. We are seeing, you know, that the supply chain and vehicles are coming back. The whole thing with the microchips, that's beginning to kind of get, you know, right itself as well. But I think also when it comes to car buying, I think a lot of people it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
I think the way we buy our vehicles is changing quite a bit.
You got car vending machines. Exactly. Which is just strange
to me. When we had to buy my son's vehicle during COVID, he needed a car. And we never stepped foot in a car dealership. We bought it all online. And it was the easiest thing. They brought the car to our home. He test drove it. He didn't like that one. They brought another one. He test drove that. Everything was done that way. We never had to go to a dealership.
And it's funny because my daughter, she is a brand new, it's a used car.
I like that. Yeah,
a newsed car.
I
mean,
it's
a 2020, little Toyota. Very, very happy. I was happy, but you know, Dad went with her, and the inventory for used cars was really, really low. It was just, it was extremely low. And she, being the millennial that she is, she wanted to use one of those companies that brought the car to her. And I was like, yeah, let's just go out because this is your first car. You know, you're not an experienced driver. You need to drive and do all of these other things. And I'm kind of glad, but I'm still fascinated by that process of having them bring the car to you. And I guess we were kind of in a rush because she really needed a car the month before. But, you know, but I will say that there's still some negotiation for warranties and things like that. But I will tell you, even though we're very pleased with, you know, what she got, even, you know, a used car is the cost of a new car, that same car, 3 or 4 years ago.
Because the inventory was so low. Used cars were so hard to find. People were actually knocking, not literally, physically knocking down our door, but the dealerships that where we bought our cars a couple of years ago were like, are you ready to bring them in for a new car? Because they wanted used cars. Used cars were huge, and so people were just getting so much money for their used cars.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that I think is going to, that's going, that's beginning
so,
to kind
so
of
So you still
write
think
itself.
This is the month, if you're in the market, to shop, or should you wait to the beginning
of
the year?
I haven't quite seen it come back 100% yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always say if you've got a used car and you can continue with
it
keep rolling on it and pay those maintenance costs and just pay those, you know, just to get the upkeep going. I've told my kids that too. I'm like, you just drive the car that you've got right now. It's the smartest thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, speaking of cars, we're going to talk about this groundbreaking report that Susan Hogan did earlier this year that is important for anyone with young children, with grandchildren, if you drive an SUV. We're going to talk about it. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about steals, deals, and consumer tips with Susan Hogan, consumer investigative reporter for NBC4. We're going to drive off the road a little bit, off the holiday road, because several months ago, you know, Susan did this really, really great story about SUV safety and children. And It just blew the socks off of anyone, and I think it's just really important that we've visited here and that she revisits. Kind of talk to me about the genesis of this story, because this is so important for parents, grandparents, and the like.
So, the best way to tell the story is to tell you how I heard about it. So, Kids in Cars is a wonderful organization, and I've worked with them for years, and they're all about kids and safety with cars, right? And so I was having a conversation with Jeanette Fennell, who is the founder of this organization and just wonderful woman. And she said, you know, your next story should be about front overs. And I said, what are front overs? I've done stories about back overs, so we all know what that is. And she said, no. She said, in fact, front overs are actually killing more children than back overs ever did. I'm like, what? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, parents or caretakers or whomever are rolling over, driving over their children because they can't see them in front of their vehicles. And so I'm thinking, what? So she said it's not a blind spot, it's a blind zone in the front. Mm-hmm. And we're talking mostly with SUVs.
Right.
Okay? Not really so much with sedans. So, but if you're a family, guess what you're driving? You're driving an SUV, right? So she said, you really need to look at this. And these vehicles these days, and Harold, you can see, they're huge.
The cars are, the SUVs
moly.
Are really, really big.
The front of pickup trucks, the front of SUVs, the grills are getting higher. You know, and it's based on consumer demand, because when we ask the Association, thank you. Like, why are these vehicles so big? And they're like, it's consumer demand.
That's
consumers
what they want.
Want big and high, and you know,
because they probably feel safer.
Well, you do
on the road,
exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly why parents are buying these bigger SUVs, is because they feel safer. But here are the statistics that we got from the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. There were 366 deaths, 15,000 injuries due to what they called forward-moving vehicles. So we said to NHTSA, what the heck does that mean? And they're like, well, I'm like, is that front overs? They're like, well, it's just anything to do with cars moving forward. We're like, okay. So with that, my producer and my crew decided, you know, let's do this story. Let's go get an SUV and get some kids and see what the blind zone is. So it was in July. This it's kind of not funny, but it is kind of funny. So we had to find kids, and we wanted them to be about 5 years old and younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a feat in and of itself, but we did. We found 9 kids, and so it was a 95-degree day, Harold, in July. It was hot as heck, and we were on asphalt, and so we had blankets laid out, but we just, you know, we figured this will be easy peasy, and the parents were lined up, and so I had a mom sitting in the driver's seat, I'm in the passenger seat, and my producer is taking one little child at a time and lining them up and putting them, you know, right in front of the car. And, you know, we showed our viewers how safe we were. We put blocks underneath the wheels. The car was shut off. And so, you know, we're lining up one child, and I would ask her, do you see anything? Nope. The second child, third, fourth. And we were lining them up in a row. So they're all sitting, you know, in Indian style, bit, you know, one after the other. Mm-hmm. And we got to the 9th kid, and she said, I don't see anything. We're like, what? We ran out of kids. We're like, and she still didn't see anybody. So we had to take the kid who was in the front and bring him to the back.
The child to the back.
And
I
it
see.
Wasn't until that, so that he became the 10th kid, did she find, she was like, oh my gosh, I can see the top of his head now. Guess what the blind zone is between from where she was sitting to where that little kid was?
10 feet?
16 feet. She could not see 16 feet in front of her vehicle. That's enormous. And when we had a drone, so a drone went up and over to see that, I think it surprised us. The parents were like choked up because they were just like, oh my gosh. The mom behind the wheel was just like, I had no idea. So, you know, we could have done the story and just ended it there and did the shock factor and just say, you know, there's the story. But my producer and I were like, let's take this to someone who can do something about it. Let's take it to a lawmaker. So we asked Senator Blumenthal and
out of Connecticut.
Yeah. A Democrat out of Connecticut who does a lot of stories, a lot of legislation when it comes to safety. And he did the backovers and passed legislation for other things as well. So we asked him, we said, would you watch our story? And then we want you to tell us about it and comment about it. So he did. He watched our story. 24 hours later, he told us, we did an interview with them, and he said that I'm going to be writing legislation asking for some sort of front over, some sort of an alert, something, a camera in vehicles. So this can't happen. So parents can see what's in front of their vehicles. And just a couple of weeks ago, he announced that the legislation was written and introduced.
Wonderful.
So we are very proud of that. We are, you know, it's not about just, you know, saving the lives of the children, but it's to make people aware, because until legislation is actually passed and until vehicles actually put safety, you know, cameras or whatever in front of the vehicles, alerts, alarms or whatever, I think if anything, if we made a parent think twice or a caregiver think twice about before they just get in the car, I mean, we're all in a rush, putting it into drive and going, they got to stop. Walk around the vehicle.
Yeah.
Make sure the kids are not in, you know, near that vehicle. You know, it was an eye opener for everybody to see that.
Well, I think it was an eye opener for me because, I know that, you know, growing up and, you know, and living in a community where there were driveways, you know, every house had a driveway, and I was not one to play in the driveway, but, you know, because I was older, but I remember seeing on any given day during good weather that you could see little girls in the driveway in front of cars or trucks or what have you. And of course, parents coming, get out of the driveway. For that very, very reason. But this is different because, you know, back in the old, you know, Flintstone days, you know, we didn't have great big huge SUVs.
Right.
And it seems to me that it shouldn't take a lot if we're able to put these rear facing cameras on the smallest vehicles, that having one on an SUV, and these cameras are, it's not expensive to do it.
It isn't, because if they're in the back, you can put them in the front.
Yeah.
And vehicles have them in the front. There are many vehicles that do have cameras in the front. but they're on luxury vehicles.
Okay.
Why aren't they on all vehicles? Why aren't they standard? You know, and they're not going to cost a lot. And I think always people are thinking, oh gosh, that's just one more thing that we just have to pay for. And, you know, why should manufacturers have to pay the price for us not doing our thing and being careful? Well, the problem is, and we've done these stories, and I've defended my stories so many times by saying, you know, we make mistakes. Drivers make mistakes. The pedestrian accidents are out of control, right? So, you know, people will say, the naysayers will say, well, that's not up to the manufacturers to make cars so they stop. For pedestrians, that's up to us. I get it. But at the end of the day, we're human. And so vehicles have the ability to have these types of safety things in them. I mean, there's lane departure warnings. There's pedestrian automatic braking systems. We just did a story about that. This is another thing, too. We did this story. It just aired last week. So there's pedestrian avoidance technology on some vehicles.
Yes, and I guess they work better during the day than at night,
right,
or something
so
like that?
So that's the story that we did was they're working pretty well. For those that have the vehicles that have this technology, they work pretty well during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, they're not working. So what's happening there? And when pedestrian accidents happen, mostly they happen at night when people need it the most. So again, there's a disconnect there. You know, they're not apples to apples to apples. You know, some avoidance technologies work okay. They'll stop well at 21 miles an hour, but at 27 they don't. But in some vehicles, they'll stop really well at 32 miles an hour. So, you know, the consumer, the car safety advocates were saying, why is it all over the map? If you're going to have this technology, it should work exactly the same way in all vehicles. And it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Susan Hogan, it is always a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, certainly at this time of year when, you know, it's that quote-unquote post-pandemic time and people are back and shopping. And so we just hope that people are wise with their money and safe on the streets. I really appreciate you coming in.
I always love coming in here to see you, Harold. It's so nice to be here in person as well. And I always love talking to your listeners, too.
Happy holidays
you
to
too.
You. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, December 1st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.